I'm going to invite you to be seated and invite the choir up.
The Christian friend, rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King.
Good morning. We celebrate our Easter that the tomb is empty and Christ is risen from the dead. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. A blessed Easter to all as we gather on this great day to celebrate Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. As a pastor introduced his children's sermon on Easter, he asked the little ones, "Do you see anything different about our church today?" Well, one little girl named Heather figured out the difference and she blurted out, "It's full." We're almost there. You know what? The doors are open every Sunday and everybody's always welcome to come join us as we worship and give thanks and glory to our God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I think about Easter, you and I have an advantage that those first early Christians did not. We've got 2,000 years of history behind us of people sharing this good news of Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead. But I want you this morning, just for a moment, to take yourselves back in time to that first Easter morning and to walk alongside those three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. Where are they at? They are still in shock. And I think we sometimes forget that they're in shock over Jesus' death. They don't know the good news that you and I already know. They're on their way to the tomb early that morning. And they're grief-stricken. Their one goal is to take these spices, these burial spices that they have procured, and go and anoint Jesus' body for a proper burial, to honor him, to respect him. Now, they didn't plan very well because on the way to the tomb, they are debating and deliberating, well, who's going to roll this stone away from the tomb that was rolled across when Jesus' body was laid inside? So I can't imagine the thoughts that went through their head as they rounded the corner and they discovered the stone was rolled away and the tomb was wide open. I'm sure they wondered who opened it. And maybe they were a bit afraid, thinking they might find maybe a Roman guard or something else nearby that they would not want to encounter. What did they see as they approached, however, was a young man sitting there dressed in a white robe, an angel. That was not their expectation. Now, I don't know about you, but if we were walking around somewhere on early in the morning, we all of a sudden saw a person in white and a white robe shining bright and an angel, what would we do? I think we'd be a little afraid ourselves, would we not? Well, it caused some alarm for them as well. Now, most of the times in the Bible, angels, they're messengers and usually have good news. But that's not always the case. Sometimes they also bring news of impending judgment. But in this case, it was good news. No, it was great news. He is risen. He is not here. Reminds me of the church's Easter program where five-year-old little Billy was asked to recite this great news, that line right there, that he is risen, he is not here. Despite practicing it several times, when he stood in front of the church and all those people out there, he froze and he couldn't remember what to say. The director leaned over, whispered in the little boy's ear. Billy smiled, grabbed the microphone, and confidently proclaimed, "He's not here. He's in prison." No, not quite right, right? He's not in prison. He has risen. He has risen from the grave. And what tremendous news that is. And what a surprise to those women who had come to the tomb on that first Easter morning. Even though Jesus, as we also know, had proclaimed on at least three separate occasions that he was going to suffer, die, and on the third day, rise again. But no one really understood or comprehended that thought until they came upon that empty tomb on that Easter morning and that angel. And then they were proclaimed, or they would know that Jesus would then later appear to many others as well. And while the angel was a messenger to share this great news of Jesus' resurrection, he also had a task for these women. And I think this is important for us today. It's actually a command. He says, go and tell. Go and tell. Now, this is not the kind of news you want to keep to yourself, right? They were to share it first with the other disciples and with Peter, who is specifically mentioned here in Mark's gospel. And the message, of course, is the utmost importance. That's why we are here today. They were to tell that Jesus was going to go before them to Galilee to appear to the other disciples, and that they will see him just as he had said that he would, that they would. Mark records that these women then were filled with fear and trembling and astonishment. That had seized them, that had stopped them in their tracks, and they said nothing because they were afraid. How often does fear stop us in our tracks? Stop us from responding. Stop us from doing anything. It was Robert Louis Stevenson who said, "Keep your fears to yourself and share your courage with others." I like that. Keep your fears to yourself and share your courage with others. There's a great example of someone conquering their fear. We need to be like the 84-year-old grandmother who fiercely maintained her independence and lived alone in the old family home. Her four children lived in the same town, but she rarely called on them except for a case of an emergency. So it was with some apprehension, therefore, that one of her sons drove to her house one morning in answer to her phone call. When he arrived, she said that she suspected that there was a burglar in her bedroom closet, since she heard noises in there the night before. "Well, why didn't you call me last night?" the son said. "Well," she replied, "it was late and I didn't want to bother you. So I just nailed the closet door shut and I went to bed." Well, that's the kind of attitude a Christian ought to have, right? When faced with the impossible, nail the door to fear shut and go to bed in calm assurance because God's got this, right? One of the greatest fears that we have, though, is like the women at the tomb. We are afraid to share our faith with others. Jesus gave us, Jesus gave his church this charge at the end of Matthew's gospel when he was ascending back into heaven. Go, he said. There's another command, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching us to obey everything he's commanded us. And furthermore, he promised to be with us. So we're not alone in this. We're not by ourselves. God is with us. Christ is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us as we proclaim to the world that Christ is risen. And so we need to be more like that grandmother, nailing that burglar shut, nailing that fear shut in our lives so that we may be able to share this great news with the world that Christ is risen, that he is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. God, thank you for this Easter celebration today. Thank you that you conquered sin, death, and the devil and rose again victorious to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us, Lord, not just on our own faith, but that we may proclaim that faith to a world that needs to hear it. They need to hear that there is a Lord and Savior who died for them, who loves them, who wants them to grow in their faith. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's sing the hymn.
Will you please join me in prayer? Oh, gracious Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that you have shared with us, the gift and power of the resurrection, your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Lord, we praise you for his glorious resurrection, and we're told that when we come to faith, we share in his crucifixion and his death. But then also we share in this new life, resurrection, new life now and forevermore. We praise God. We praise you, Lord, for this great and wonderful gift. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we are so grateful for the gift of rain we received last night. And we ask that you would continue to bless the land and bless us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and help us and give us that water of life that wells up within us to eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Victorious Lord, we give thanks that on this day you broke forth from the grave and the gate of death was shattered and opened us the gift of forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. Give us faith, renew our faith, that we may celebrate your victory every day of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, it's because of your great love for us that you willingly went to the cross to pay the price of our sin and to free us from bondage to sin. Help us to live into each day as a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. O great physician, we pray for healing for any who are sick or ill. Strength for those recovering or facing treatments or therapy. Peace for any who may be struggling with relationships or even life itself. Lord God, we pray for peace between nations. Peace within communities. Peace within our own families and within our own relationships. And also peace simply within our hearts. You alone know the turmoil that so many face. And you alone can bring healing. Lord, breathe the power of your resurrection into our lives and bring us new life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as we come to your table today, Lord, may we leave our sin and struggles at the altar. And come away with a renewed sense of purpose to serve you and one another and help one another in their journey of faith and invite others into the journey with us. Now into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Children of God, it was in the night in which he was betrayed that our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." dear children of God, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, now strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with this one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in our concluding song. Amen and hallelujah. Woo, thank you. Praise God. Hey, as we prepare to go our way out into that mission field that so desperately needs to hear this message, that he has indeed arose, you're sure welcome to head down toward the fellowship hall. We don't have a breakfast bar, but you can do some fellowship. We've got some coffee and I think some donut holes and some other things down there. But we do have some butterfly release, which will be right out here at the Flower Cross at 10 a.m. if you want to stick around for that. And if you donated to Lily, we got another service at 10:30. We just asked that you'd wait till after that service to grab Lily's. Sorry. and then, as I mentioned, we will have a prayer minister up here, and this is just a gift for us to be able to share a prayer with anybody, or with somebody special up here. So Hey, let's join together in the sending because the worship is now ended and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, He is with you always, even till the end of time. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Yes, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.